We have a lot of people not here today, traveling, I guess, holidays and Thanksgiving week, and appropriately, I think. We're going to go to Psalm 107 today, and I'll depart from that last final message on the book of James. Maybe next week we'll get to that, but this week we want to be thankful. As we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas, we should pause, consider all that the Lord has done and continues to do in our lives and in the lives of those around us in our church. And it's a time to be thankful. And it's something that's missing, I think, a lot in our country in general. We seem to have an attitude of like entitlement or something, and really the only thing we're really worthy of is eternal separation from God because of our sin. But praise God, thank God, praise be to God for his sacrifice for us, that we don't have to face that if we accept Christ as our Savior. We get to be with him forever. And that in and of itself is enough to be thankful for. But he's a gracious God and he gives us so much more. And we need to remember these things not only today or this Thursday, and but all year, every day. And God is faithful every day, every single day. He's faithful. And I wish I could say that. I wish I could say I was faithful every day. But I know I'm not. But God never fails. He's always faithful. Keeps his promises. And we have much to be thankful for. We're going to look at Psalm 107. We're going to go through the whole... It's 43 verses. But as you can see on your outline, there's six blanks, so I have it honed down a little. But very powerful psalm. We can be thankful that the Lord leads. That the Lord leads. I'll read the first seven verses and we'll talk a little bit about this. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the foe and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, the north and the south. They wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were thirsty and hungry, and their spirits failed within them." I love verse 6. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live." You know, the Lord leads. And the beginning of this verse, or the beginning of this psalm, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." You know, God is good all the time, even when it doesn't seem like it, when things are going wrong. But he's still good. And he's faithful. His faithful love endures forever. You know, he never quits loving us. Even when we are unlovable. And we are many times, aren't we? We say and do things that don't please God. And yet, through that, he loves us. Just like our children. Do your children, when you were raising them, did they always please you? Did they always make you happy? Did they give you a hard time from time to time? And yet, what? You still love them, right? And God is like that with us. Yeah, we disappoint him from time to time. We're human, and he knows that we have flaws, and he knows that we get sidetracked, and he knows that we get distracted, and we fall short. but His love endures forever. And we can be thankful for that. I love this. That's the verse that I highlighted, because it says, they wandered in the wilderness. They were wandering. And you know what? Every one of us was wandering at one time. Before you had the Lord, before you had salvation, before the Holy Spirit came and resided in your heart, you were just wandering. You're just going through life on your agenda, your way, whatever you thought was right. And then at some point in your life, you came to a place. I came to a place where I cried out to the Lord, some way, shape, or form. I had to go to Him and say, you know what? Lord, I have failed. I have been doing things my way. And I'm a sinner. And I deserve hell. But yet, I recognize that You sent Jesus to come and die for me and pay the price and rise again in victory over death. And You did all that because You love me. And Lord, would You save me? Would You rescue me from myself? And you know what? He does. He did it for me. And I hope He has done it for all of you. It's an amazing thing. And then, but He doesn't just save us. It says He led them by the right path. You know, we were on the wrong path. But it says He led them by the right path. We wander, He leads. When we go our own way, we get in trouble. But He leads. And if we follow Him, it will be good. Jesus describes us as sheep without a shepherd. You know, when you're doing things your way, you're like a sheep without a shepherd. You're just going to go. And you know, sheep, it's really not a very nice analogy. Sheep are pretty dumb. And Jesus chose that to compare it to us. And sheep are pretty dumb. I remember pulling out of our little street we lived on in New Mexico to go down County Road 2900, and there must have been 500 sheep on this road. And they didn't get out of the way. I mean, they're so dumb. If I'd have just gone, I'd have killed 100 of them, you know. I had to stop. And then they're just like, and they're just, you know, going all around, and all they stink. We had to roll up the windows, turn on the air, you know, with the inside circulation, you know, because they smell so bad. And I'm just like, wow, Jesus compared us to sheep. But you know what Jesus does? He cleans us up. He even makes us smell good sometimes, you know. And he leads us so that we don't have to wander all over the place. What a great God. Are you thankful that He's leading you? I hope you're letting Him lead you. You know, what did He say? He said, pick up your cross and follow Me. Die to yourself. Get yourself out of the way and just follow Me. And you will find life, true life, abundant life. It's an amazing thing. He wants to lead. But He also frees us. The Lord frees us. And He starts it again. Let them give thanks. Verse 8, same. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love and for His wonderful works for all humanity. And then He goes on to explain, for He has satisfied the thirsty, filled the hungry with good things. Others sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in cruel chains. Because why? They rebelled against God's commands and despised His counsel, the counsel of the Most High. He broke their spirits with hard labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. That's a picture. It is a picture. It says He satisfies the thirsty. He fills the hungry. What are you thirsting for? What are you hungry for? I hope it's righteousness. But I know there was a lot of things in my past I used to thirst for and hunger for, and it wasn't good stuff. It was just stuff that I wanted. It was selfish stuff that I thought I needed to be happy, or I needed to be fulfilled, or I needed to have my way, whatever it might be. Because, see, I was one of those others. He satisfies the thirst. You know, when you thirst for righteousness, when you hunger for righteousness, when you hunger for God, when you thirst for God, He will fulfill that. But the Bible says in verse 10, others sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in cruel chains. Why? Because they rebelled against God's commands. We knew the command. We knew to do what was right, but we did wrong. And you know, that's rebellion. You know, that's a strong word. And we like to say, well, I just disobeyed. No, God calls it rebellion. Well, I know I'm supposed to forgive somebody, but that's rebellion. Because we know we're supposed to forgive. We know we're supposed to, you fill in the blank. Where is it you're troubled? Where is it you're struggling? We rebel against His commands, and then it says, and despise the counsel of the Most High. You know, in His wisdom, in His authority, in His all-knowingness, He says, this is my counsel. I'm giving you guidance. You need to take advantage of this and obey my commands. But when we fail to do that, He says, another harsh word, we despise His counsel. That's like if someone says to you, oh, you ought to do this, you'll be so much better off. Oh, get away from me. I mean, that's a despised kind of remark. Like, who are you to tell me how I should be or what I should change in my life? Those are the words God uses to describe us when we fail to heed what He says to us. And so what does He do? In verse 12 He says, He broke their spirits with what? Hard labor. You know, when you live outside God's will, it is a hard road. It is hard. And yeah, you may be young and strong or whatever, and you can hold up for a while, but He will wear you down. And I have, you know, I've said this before, but you know, I've seen people that aren't all that old, and they look really old because they are just beat down by their life. And it says he broke their spirits with hard labor, and they stumbled, and there was no one to help them. You know, it's kind of like the prodigal son. Everybody loved him until he ran out of money. You know? It was all good times, as long as he was footing the bill. But then when he ran out of money, he ended up in the pig pen, and there was no... All those guys that were so willing to let him buy their dinner or buy their drinks or whatever it is they were doing, he was doing it. Where were they? Where were they when he ran out? There was none to help. But there's that next verse. Well, there it is. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. We rebel, and He saves. You know? We are in bondage, and He frees us. We were a slave to sin, and Jesus set us free. He broke the chains. Others sit in darkness and gloom. But it says, He saves them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their chains apart. Verse 14. You were once bound by your own sin, and you could not break those chains. Pow. He sets you free. You know, we sing that song every now and then. He set you free. Yeah, He set you free. He broke bonds of prison for me. Man, we can be thankful because He frees us. You do not have to be held captive by your sin. If you have the Holy Spirit, He can set you free. If you let Him. So you're either going to allow Him to do so, or, like He says, rebel against the commands, despise the counsel. We get to make the choice. We have free will. And we make the choice every day. Every single day we choose. Obey or despise the counsel. We reject him or accept him. We follow him or we go our own way. Every single day we make those choices. But he wants us to be free. He died to set us free. What an amazing thing. The Lord saves. He leads. He frees. He saves. You can be thankful that he wants to lead us. You can be thankful that he frees us. And you can be really thankful that he saves us. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for all humanity. That's verse 15. For he has broken down the bronze gates. He's cut through the iron bars. That prison you were in, cut through it. It says, fools suffer affliction because of their rebellious ways. You understand when you rebel against God, you're being foolish? When we choose to disobey God, we are foolish. It may seem wise. It may seem like the right thing to do. But it's folly. It says they loathed all food and came near the gates of death. But then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent his word, in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit. And who's the word? Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to rescue us from the pit. We rebel. You know, we are born with rebellion in our hearts. People say, oh, kids are so good. They're so innocent. Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are. Where'd you get that cookie? I found it. Yeah, what cookie? While they're chewing it. Yeah. Didn't I tell you not to eat the cookie? I don't remember. Didn't I put the cookie away? Yeah, but there was a chair there. We are a rebellious bunch of people. We don't like to be told what to do. We are rebellious. And we're born that way. But as we get older, praise God, we can recognize there's a Savior. We rebel, he saves. Because at some point, you need to humble yourself and admit you're messed up. But Jesus came to fix it. We can be thankful for that. He saves us. He saves us from what we deserve, hell itself. We sin and we deserve eternal punishment, separated from God in a place called hell. But God sent his word, Jesus, to save us. And that's what we're going to celebrate in a little bit here, to acknowledge what God has done. I'm just kind of preaching a different way today. I just want you to think about these things. I want you to ponder. Because we can be thankful that he leads us, he frees us, he saves us, and he calms us. Because you know what? We get overwhelmed in life. Life can be overwhelming. In verse 21, he says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and all his wonderful works for all humanity. He says, let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and announce his works with shouts of joy. That's why we have testimony time every so often. We need to announce his works with joy. God did this in my life. God accomplished this. God saved me from that. God took me. I didn't even know what I was doing, and He did something in me, and here I am, and this is past, and you know, praise God. And it says, announce His works with shouts of joy. You know, a lot of times we announce our works with shouts of joy. Look what I accomplished. The Bible says, announce His works with shouts of joy. Others went to sea in ships, conducting trade on vast waters. They saw the Lord's wonderful works, His wonderful works in the deep. He spoke and raised a tempest, stirred up the waves of the sea, rising up to the sky, sinking down to the depths. I've never been in a sea like that, but I know people who have. They say it's very scary. Their courage melting away in anguish. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and all their skill was useless. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in these predicaments, and we think we're smart enough, or able enough, or skillful enough, or talented enough, or clever enough to get out of it ourselves. It says their skill was useless. We get overwhelmed. But I love this. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their... You see a theme going on here? Be thankful, because things happen when we mess up. But you know what? If we cry out to God, He's always faithful. And He brings us out of our distress. If we'll follow His ways, you know, if we'll take His counsel, if we'll obey His commands. They cried out to the Lord, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a murmur, and the waves of the sea were hushed. The sea is loud. You know, when you go to the beach or something, I grew up on the beach, and man, I mean, especially when there were storms and stuff, and hurricanes would be blowing in. We'd always go to the beach in the hurricane, because it was like, cool, you know. Waves were awesome. Just big and powerful. You couldn't surf them. It was like, you'd be stupid to go out there. But man, it was cool. And it was so noisy. You have to shout, you know, just to somebody to hear you right next to you. But then I've also been to the ocean when it's like a lake. I mean, just, and it's just quiet. And you can hear the birds, you know, chirping or flying over. And He stills the storm to a murmur. The waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced when the waves grew quiet, and He guided them to the harbor they longed for. We get overwhelmed, but He calms us. And when the storms of life come, He can still the storm and guide us to the harbor that we long for. You know, when we're in the midst of the stuff, it's like there's so much turmoil, there's so much stress, there's all the stuff going on, and we're just longing like, man, can't this just pass? Can't I just have peace? And if you follow God, He will give you peace. Peace even in the midst of a storm. The peace that passes all understanding. All those verses aren't in there because they don't happen, folks. When you trust God, yes, sometimes the storm does go away. Sometimes the situation, the circumstance in your life does pass. And you find yourself in the harbor. Excuse me. Find yourself in the harbor. And it's all calm in the harbor. One of our favorite places to go is Ventura Harbor. And we go out there and, you know, you can be on the beach and it's just pounding and everything, but you go just 100 feet the other direction where the harbor is, or maybe it's a couple hundred feet. It's not far. And the boats are just sitting there. They're not even moving. You know, they're moored and they're just sitting there. And sometimes our life is just all over the place. But God wants to take you to the harbor. Take you where the water's calm. He stills the storm and guides us to the harbor. You can be thankful for that. You can remember the storms in your life that He's already taken. You may be in one right now, and that may have your focus. Take some time, and go back and think of, how about that storm back there? And now I'm past it. He got me through it. He took me to a safe place. And you know what? He'll do it again. He'll take you to a safe place. Now the psalmist turns a little bit. He says, the Lord is just. Again, the first verse in this section is verse 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love and His wonderful works for all humanity. But here's the difference. You know, the Lord will lead us if we'll let Him. You know, we can choose to follow Him. The Lord will free us if we ask Him. If we choose, again, to follow Him. The Lord will save us if we confess our sin. Humble ourselves. And the Lord will calm us if we seek His peace, follow His commands, those kinds of things. But the Lord is just. Whether we ask Him or not, whether we follow Him or not, whether we choose to acknowledge Him or not, He is just. And you can be thankful for that. Because His sense of justice is not dependent on us. He is just, whether we ask Him or not. It is His nature. It is His nature. It says, let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. The council is, it's talking about authorities, talking about leadership. Because you know what? Leadership is not always just, is it? I mean, one of the things we can say, I don't care what persuasion you are in politics, there is corruption all over the place. Our leaders are not always just. But God is. And we can be thankful for that. So let them exalt Him in the assembly of people. Praise Him in the council of elders. How wonderful it is when the authorities are seeking God. You know, there's all kinds of different forms of government. But you know what the best form of government is? And it's not democracy, folks. The best form of government there is a righteous dictatorship. A righteous dictatorship. You think about that. Because if the person that's the dictator is totally righteous, won't everything be done right? Won't it all be just? Won't it all be proper? Because that's what we're going to be in heaven. You understand that, right? You know, that's how heaven's run, right? It's a righteous dictatorship, right? Jesus Christ is Lord. Huh? Yeah, I know it goes against the American way. I know. Oh, I get a vote. You don't get no vote in heaven, folks. You either in or you're out. But praise God, He is just. I like this. He turns, this is verse 33, He turns rivers into desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, fruitful land into salty wasteland, because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. He's just. He's just. But the flip side is true also. 35 through 38. He turns a desert into a pool of water. Now, wouldn't that be cool? We live in a desert. Man, just think about, you know, and it would be better than Sheep Creek water. And cheaper. But But he turns the desert into a pool of water. Dry land into springs of water. He causes the hungry to settle there, and they establish a city where they can live, and they sow fields, and they plant vineyards that yield a fruitful harvest. And he blesses them, and they multiply greatly. He does not let their livestock decrease. He's just. He blesses the righteous, causes problems for those that aren't. He's just. It says, when they are diminished and humbled by cruel oppression and sorrow, he pours contempt on nobles and makes them wander in a trackless wasteland. He says, you know what? The ones that are in charge, he's going to handle them. You know, sometimes we feel like corrupt people seem to get away with everything, and it does seem like it at times. But trust God. He's just. This is not escaping him. He's not oblivious to what's going on in the world. And he's going to do what he's going to do when he's ready to do it. He's going to. Yes, he pours contempt on the nobles and humbles the oppressed, the ones that are oppressing, rather. But verse 41, he lifts the needy out of their suffering and makes their families multiply. The upright see it and rejoice, and all injustice shuts its mouth. He resists the wicked. He blesses the righteous. He pours out contempt upon the oppressors. He lifts the needy. We should rejoice. We should rejoice because the Lord makes all things right. And here's the problem for us. In His time. His time. Hello, news alert. God is not working on your timetable. Okay? We want it now. That's our nature. Oh, I want Him to, you know, yeah, I know you do, but hello, His time. He's sovereign. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose, not only on the individual level, but family level, church level, city level, nation level, world level, okay? He's got it all going all at once, and He's not overwhelmed by it. Okay? He hasn't forgotten somebody. He's working it all out in His time. And that's why we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful. Just trust Him. Be faithful to Him. And know that He is just. And that all these things are going to be made right according to His time. You know, we always, you know, when you see the guy cut you off in traffic, you want the cop to be right there to pull him over. Hey, that guy pulled, oh wow, a cop pulled him. Oh man, yeah. You know. How often do you really see that though, huh? That's what we want though. But then we got to remember, how many times were you the guy that cut him off? Because you didn't see him. In His time. He's patient. You know, the guy that cuts you off, God's working on them too. You know? God wants them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if they haven't already done so. God wants to work in their life too. Not just, you know, it's not about you, you know. We're part of it, but there's a whole big old planet here full of people that God's working with. The Lord is just. Praise the Lord. Lastly, the Lord is faithful. I actually put the verse up here. Let whoever is wise pay attention to these things. All these things that we just read. Psalm 107, first 42 verses. Let whoever is wise pay attention to these things. That's why I kind of brought them out for you today. We need to pay attention to the Lord's leading, to the fact He wants to free us from some of the things that are binding us. He wants to save us if we're not saved. And also, maybe if we are saved, sometimes we still need to be saved from some stuff we're doing. He wants to calm us when we're overwhelmed. He is just. He is faithful. Let ever who is wise pay attention to these things and consider the Lord's acts of faithful love. Why does He do all these things? Because of His love. His love compels Him. He loves you. He wants to be a part of your life. That's why He sent His Son. Because there was no way that us in our sin could ever be a part of God. Unless God did something. That's why the Bible says in Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Couldn't have done it any other way, because if He was waiting for us to kind of deserve it, it would have never happened. In another place, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How does God show His love? He already did 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died for your sin and mine. And we can be thankful for that. If not another good thing in your life happened after that, it's still enough to show that He loved you, and it's still enough for us that we should be thankful. The rest is just blessing. We are so blessed. My goodness. We should be so thankful. Consider the Lord's acts of faithful love and be thankful. Man. We can get down. And we do. We're human. We get overwhelmed. We get down. Because we focus on the things we're going through. Or the things that are going on around us. Or in our lives. Instead of what? Being grateful to God for all of His acts of faithful love toward us. I would challenge you to one day this week, it's Thanksgiving week, when you have a quiet time or a spot where you can take some time, I challenge you to take a piece of paper, pencil, pen, and start writing down stuff God is doing in your life. What God has done and what He's doing. We spend so much time saying, oh, Lord, this is hurting, or this is whatever, or this is broken, or, the money's not there, or, the food, or, we spend a lot of time. Why not take one session and not complain about anything, and not wish for anything to be different, and not try to look for something to change, but wow, God forgave me. God carried me when my child was sick, or God, whatever it is. Gosh, when I had that tremendous problem in my life and I screwed it up and it was my fault and I did not deserve mercy, God gave me mercy. And He worked it out for me. Just spend a few minutes and maybe even ask God to bring to remembrance some things in your mind. I don't know about you, but my mind gets really cluttered. Sometimes it's hard to clear it. Ask Him to clear it. He will. And start just bask in His presence and let Him just fill you with His love. Might be something to do this week. And then just rejoice in what he has done. Yeah, we can get down and focus on things we're going through, the things going on around us, instead of being grateful to God for all his acts of faithful love toward us. May we always keep our hearts and minds on him and remember that the issues of this life are temporary, folks. Whatever it is you're going through, I don't care how bad it is, I don't care how severe it is temporary. It is temporary. And I know it seems like, I know, you know, some of you have been putting up with some stuff or you've been going through some stuff for years, but it's still temporary. If it's 100 years, what is that compared to eternity? Think about it. Get the right perspective. That doesn't mean we ignore it or all that, but get the right perspective. It makes it easier to handle, folks. It's temporary. The issues of this life are temporary, but God has already provided for our eternity through Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not making light of situations. I'm just saying it's temporary. That's where your hope lies. It's not forever. It seems like it's forever when you're going through it, but it's not. That's the good news. The good news is if you have Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your real forever, the real forever part is really good. And you're not going to be dealing with it. Whatever it is you're dealing with now, you're not going to be dealing with it forever. Man, get a hold of that. We always have Jesus to be thankful for. Always. Because he's the one who made it possible for us to have that forever. The Lord's Supper reminds us to be grateful to Christ. Now we're getting ready to have the Lord's Supper today. It reminds us to be grateful to Christ for his sacrifice on our behalf. And that's why we love him so much. Or at least we ought to. Love him so much. And that's why we can always be thankful. We're going to have an invitation. The first part of the invitation is simply this. Do you have the Lord? Have you ever called out to him and admitted you were a sinner and that you were deserving of hell, of eternal punishment? But you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. Have you ever done that? Ask God to forgive you in the name of Jesus and what he did on the cross. Have you ever done that? And then ask him to save you, because he will if you do that, if you're sincere, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. Tremendous promise. And there may be someone here today, you've never done that, but you need to do it. This invitation's for you. For the rest of us, how many here would say, you know what? Man, I've been wandering. Or maybe I'm in bondage to something. Or maybe I'm overwhelmed with something. Or maybe I'm just kind of depressed because the wicked just seem to be prospering. And I'm not. Maybe something like that. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And you know, it's also an invitation for those, you know, maybe there's something not right in your life. And the Bible warns us about taking the Lord's Supper when there's things not right in our life. And this may be a time you just need to confess it before God and just make it right. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I have never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accepted his free gift of salvation. I need to do that. Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I pray that everyone will make that decision. for the rest of us. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've been wandering a little bit and I kind of need to get back behind the leader, Jesus Christ. I just been kind of off the path, been doing my own thing. Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. I thank you for that. How many would say, you know what? I've been overwhelmed by some things in life, and I need to have that calming experience that God offers. I've just been overwhelmed. How many like that? God bless you. Wow. A lot of people dealing with some things here today. Listen, Jesus loves you. He knows your situation. He wants to give you peace. How many would say, I just need to be more grateful. I just kind of forget to be grateful sometimes. Anybody like that? Just need to be more grateful for what God... Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you on behalf of these people that raise their hand. And Lord, I pray you'd meet them right where they're at. Lord God, that you made these promises in your word. And if we would just do what you ask, Lord, you would give us peace. You would lead us. You would free us. You would save us. You would calm us, Lord, because you're always just and you're always faithful. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of people here today. Draw them to yourself, Lord, as only you can do. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As the music plays, you deal with God as He has laid it on your heart. Prepare yourself to take of His bread and juice, His body and His blood today, as we celebrate what He has done. Thank you for this great psalm that you placed in there for our benefit, that we would be thankful, Lord, that we would get a bigger picture of what you're doing in our lives, in the lives of those around us. Father God, I pray for those that recognize their need of some change, perhaps, or a change of attitude or a change of direction in their lives, Lord. And I pray you would indeed guide them to the place they need to be. And Lord God, we just thank you for all the things that you are, all your attributes, Lord. We listed a few today, and there's so many, Lord God, for you are infinite. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.